The Franchise Geeks present Social Geek Radio. Hey, geeks, how are you? Jack Munson here, your social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and ClickTex. Joining me once again, it's co-host Jim Buckley. What's happening, Jim?
How you doing today, Jack? It's finally fall, apparently, in Florida. It's only going to be 85 degrees here today.
Wow, only 85. Jim Buckley, poolside today in October of 2018. I am wearing several layers of clothes here in Chicago, and the leaves are dying as we speak. So a little bit different up here, my friend. Today, we're going to talk a lot about attribution and some recent issues that have come up for brands and advertisers and metrics. First, I do want to say a big thank you to everybody who attended an awesome event last week in Austin, Texas. It was the Franchise Marketing Innovation and Technology Conference. We like to call it MITCON. It's a great show that the IFA puts on. Great crowd, great job by the IFA staff. And I want to say special thanks to a few of the speakers who really just kind of blew my mind, including Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital. He was our keynote. We also heard some great stuff, and we got to look at the 10-year roadmap from Facebook, from Philip Rather of Facebook. And I also really enjoyed a closing keynote from Brad Haley, the chief marketing officer of IHOP, who was telling us all about the recent event, marketing event and stunt that they did with the International House of Burgers, right? IHOP. Great story, great storytellers, all of these folks. So thanks again for those guys, and thanks to everybody who showed up to Austin, and we look forward to seeing you at that same event again next year. Okay, Jim, let's talk attribution. There's been a lot of stuff in the news lately, in the brand marketing news, about some controversy over some metrics. And where should we jump into this cauldron today?
I think one of the things that struck me in the last couple of weeks is that there continues to be kind of this drumbeat of negative, poor, cruddy press around Facebook. And it's got me starting to think, I think, as the article you and I talked about that kind of was the impetus for this discussion in The Verge is, you know, this whole concept of Facebook had purposefully inflated, or knowingly, as the title says, inflated their video metrics. And I think what I really wanted to talk to you about today, and certainly for our listeners, is that this responsibility isn't on the platform side.
Yeah.
Regardless of the fact that Facebook or Google or anybody else has a certain fiduciary responsibility to provide us as advertisers with accurate data, the fact remains that the core attribution model, the way that we determine as advertisers what success versus failure is, at the end of the day, has nothing to do with the metrics that are provided to us. And I think what's been fascinating to me as I've thought about this and read quite a bit about it in recent days is that in the end, and this may sound a little bit ridiculous, but in the end, there are certain marketers who are refusing to take responsibility at this point for their own poor marketing choices.
Yeah.
And they're blaming it on the provider. And I am not necessarily, and you and I have been friends a long time, you know, I'm not a fan necessarily of kind of unfettered big tech. Right. But the fact of the matter remains that we, as whether we're professional marketers or not, if you're spending your company's marketing dollars, it's your responsibility to figure out how it works, not just necessarily say, well, see, Facebook, you know, had crappy video metrics, so therefore my marketing plan didn't work. Well, it's probably a big part of it is your responsibility because you made bad choices. And that may sound like a bit on the aggressive side. But the fact remains that at no time is it always the platform's fault. Just like if we do a poor job, for instance, of choosing who we're targeting on a display ad campaign, I'm not going to go to Simplify, who I love, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to my Simplify platform and tell them, oh, you did a bad job of delivering this, or you lied about the metrics. The fact of the matter is, if I targeted the wrong person, that's my fault.
Right.
So
Right. And I think some of those marketers that just want to say, well, it wasn't my fault. Facebook had bad metrics. Excuse me, but didn't Facebook have inaccurate metrics for your competitors as well? So to me, at the end of the day, it comes down to who sold the most pizza, or, you know, who got the most people to come into their stores, or who got the most leads from Facebook ads. And you can't really say that, that Facebook was gunning just for me and my brand. No, it's the same for everybody. So what did you do to improve the situation? And Jim, I also agree with you that I think there's, I think we've gotten away from this idea of let the buyer beware. You know, if you're a marketer, you should know that there's going to be some exaggeration and inflation. Now, maybe not to the extent that what some people are reporting now, but, you know, I keep going back to this quote from Casablanca, where I just want to say, I'm shocked to find out there's inflation in the marketing business. You know, come on. I just want to tell a lot of these people who are whining about results to say, you know, come on, grow up. You it's your responsibility to be watching the ball and know if a campaign is working or not.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, you and I have talked about this. We even spent an episode about this a few months ago. I'm talking about this. I mean, yeah. at the end of the day, it's throughput, right? The fact remains, I'm saying this for our listeners' benefit, I'm not absolving Facebook by any stretch of the imagination for their responsibility. The fact of the matter is what they did was they said, look, our video metrics are doing awesome, therefore you should spend more money. That's dirty pool, no matter how you slice it.
Right.
But the fact remains, you know, it's a methodology that I've used both with my clients and with the companies that I've worked for over the years, which is crawl, walk, run. I figure out, and it's, you know, again, it's test, discard what doesn't work, and try again. And anybody who's, you know, throwing huge amounts of money at something without having testing it repeatedly and looking at what came out the other side is frankly doing themselves and whoever they're working with and for a major disservice, because I think both of us agree, certainly, and I know a lot of people who are listening to this agree, at the end of the day, the single most important thing you can do is figure out what your, meaning you as in the person who's buying the advertising, what is your success factor, right?
Yeah.
Because people can talk all day long, right, about, well, I think this is what success looks like. I might think this is what success looks like in the future, but the core of what we do is I spend dollar X on marketing or on, you know, supporting sales to generate leads, and I expect to get dollar Y. Whatever that is for you and for your brand, then that should be the deciding factor on what platform you run on. And when platforms don't meet those standards, regardless of what your CEO says or what your friends say or what you read about on the internet, the fact remains, if it's not converting for you, okay, and I'm going to be a bit facetious here, but if you're a plumber, okay, and you're thinking that by running Facebook advertisements, you're going to increase your business by 100% a year, you're probably wrong.
Right.
You're better off using other platforms, right?
Right.
And so I think what's good about these kinds of circumstances is platforms are being held to account. At the same time, I'm a bit frustrated by the fact that it provides marketers who are less than successful an opportunity to point fingers and cast dispersion, where really what they should be doing is taking a long, hard look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we all need to be responsible for that.
Yeah, Facebook is now playing the role of a PR firm or advertising agency, may have 10, 20 years ago, where you're providing cover for a marketer who just wants to point fingers and say, well, you know, it was their fault. But I absolutely agree with you on the idea of knowing what your own numbers are, right? If you want to sell X numbers of pizzas, or you want to get, you know, X number of plumbing jobs, you need to know what that number is. And if you can spend $1 to get $5 worth of sales, or $10 worth of sales, or $2.50 worth of sales, whatever your whatever your numbers are, that's all that should matter to you. The fact that that Facebook video that got people there had some, had, you know, 20 viewers or 1,000 viewers, or someone watched it for 7 seconds or they watched it for 27 seconds. Those metrics don't really matter to me. As long as it's driving business and I can see that every dollar I spend on some form of advertising is providing some form of return, that's what I need to pay attention to, not getting down into what, you know, we talk about vanity metrics. Frankly, all of these things are vanity metrics except for your final sales numbers, right?
Right. And I think, you know, there's another interesting component to this, both as I listen to you, and it's certainly something you and I have talked about both on this show and separate in our own conversations, is that at the end of the day, quality will always defeat quantity.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's one of the reasons why the display business, there are really great providers of display advertising. There are people who really know what they're doing, who can target an audience, who can get your product and service in front of the right people and can make it perform. There are other people who don't, right? I mean, there are any number of things where I've seen repeated cases where you've got a circumstance where a client says, hey, all I care about is getting my name out to the masses. Okay, that is one methodology, and that's fine. The vast majority of other people today are saying, okay, I want to get something. I want to maximize the impact of my advertising dollar. And that's the quality play. I would much rather, and you alluded to this a minute ago, Jack, I mean, I would much rather put my client's project or product or what have you in front of 200 people who I've tightly identified, who I've said, this is going to work great for you, then put them in front of 20,000 people in the hopes that 1% of them will open, and it's just a sheer numbers game. I really truly believe that regardless of, you know, the silliness and all the inflation numbers and everything else, the fact remains that high quality, thoughtful marketing targeted to the right audience wins every time.
And that's the essence of digital marketing to start with. You know, we're talking about targeting those 200 people who we know are qualified, or they're good potential customers, or they're in the right place at the right time in the buying cycle due to their activity and who they are and what they do and all of those things, as opposed to what you're talking about, some people using digital marketing like they would an old billboard out on Interstate 95, that it doesn't matter who sees it. We just need to have 1 million people see it, right? And maybe somebody will come into our cafe. But, you know, I think the people who are trying to use digital marketing to just explode in front of masses are, missing the whole point. And someone has led them down this road of, instead of talking about quality of leads and customers, they're still selling them in the old ways of quantity of leads and customers. And we just want to get eyeballs, right? And the next person that wants to tell me about eyeballs when it comes to digital ads, it will probably just make me scream. So I'm so with you on where this is going, but I think one good thing is going to come out of this, and you alluded to it a few minutes ago. The fact that Facebook is being held to the fire over this, and I don't know what's really going to come out of it. I can't imagine anything too terrible is going to happen. But people are paying attention, and it will also open up the door maybe for some other platforms to do things a different way. And maybe we'll get away from some of those silly metrics like eyeballs, and maybe someone else will come up with a better way to A, find good customers, and B, report back to the marketers on how this is working. So, you know, a little bit of upset every once in a while keeps everybody honest.
Yeah, I think, you know, the other part of it too, and I think this is kind of the ongoing evolution of this, right? Is that you and I have been doing this a long time. And so we've seen this kind of cycle, for lack of a better description, where this is, people will rush from one place to another. And I think what this uncovers, at least from my humble perspective, or maybe not so humble perspective, but from my perspective, right, is that if, right, from my perspective, this is an object lesson as to why great marketing is a craft. That there's lots of people who, from a mechanical perspective, probably are good at this. But what it really boils down to is what you need is from a marketing point of view, and this is for anybody who's listening, frankly, for any brand I talk to, find a practitioner. Find someone who's been doing this for a while, who understands that, hey, putting all your money on Facebook is not the solution. Putting all your money in Google AdWords is not the solution. Having a holistic approach to multiple platforms is the solution.
Yep.
And that's where you succeed long term. And then, of course, you and I know we're you know, kind of both feel the same way about this, is that it's crucially important that you know going in the front door of any ad campaign, what does success look like?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, are we trying to get, you know, if you're doing something on Instagram as an example, is our core goal to get more people to engage with us on a per posting basis? Or is it, we really want to be able to say, hey, I sold this person X because of this ad campaign. That requires very different tactical deployment in how you approach each one of those campaigns. And I think, I know you've seen it as well, is that the really successful companies, the folks that are great marketers, are successful because they spend the time in planning. They don't hire some random person off the street who says, oh, well, I think, you know, I read about this article that says you should deploy this tactic on this platform for this period of time. It's more, okay, let's figure out what's our goal and then what's our checkpoint, right? At what level do we say, hey, this is succeeding or this is not succeeding? And you look at that enough times and you do it repeatedly and often, you end up being successful in the long haul.
Yeah. And I like what you were saying too about the people have the science down, but there's still the need for the art. And maybe part of art is just knowing where you want to go and how you want this campaign to go and how you want the customer's story to be told. And that's something that I don't think in this age of automation, that's something that I don't think is going to be able to be done by robots anytime in the near future. So I think good, smart marketers with a good gut will not be replaced by robots anytime in the near future. People who are just doing, ad buys, trying to reach the most number of eyeballs, that can be replaced now with a piece of software. So don't be those people. Be the irreplaceable ones. You mentioned traditional media, and I had to chuckle at one of the articles on this whole Facebook issue. There was an article, and I can't think of the person's name, lucky for him, who was tweeting about how this is all a conspiracy by Facebook to further kill the traditional media and the mainstream news, and it's all a conspiracy, and we need to unionize our newsrooms. And I thought, first of all, 1932 called and they want their propaganda slogans back. And secondly, do you think newsrooms, especially newspapers, haven't phonied up their circulation numbers for the past 150 years? Like, what planet have you been living on? Newspapers invented phony metrics. So I just thought it was funny that along with the bad marketers that are using this to point fingers at Facebook and not take the blame for being bad marketers, we're also seeing some media people who are, you know, pointing at digital media saying, aha, see, you really need to go back to the old ways. And I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I would agree. And I'm looking at his tweet, but I won't use his name either. But here's the thing about it, right? I mean, the fact remains that you are 110% correct. I mean, our ability, and again, I mean, in a world we talk about, you and I talk about this all the time. What you really want to be able to do is manage your attribution. You want to be able to say, okay, I spent a dollar and I got these results as a result of that dollar in marketing spend.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so I think, you know, obviously, you know, you and I are older. So we know the drill as it related to traditional media, specifically newspapers, where they would count the number of copies they published as CIRC, including those that they put into, and there'll be listeners to this who don't even know what the world we're talking about, but is, you know, where, you know, you used to put a quarter in and pull out the newspaper out of the newspaper bin, right? They counted those as circulation when in reality, lots of those never got read,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I think this has been around for a really long time. And I think that's why having great attribution data, having a great attribution model, and certainly during my tenure at Valpak, we had some clients who were really, really, really good at this, who knew exactly, they had multiple call tracking lines. They knew exactly what their cost per acquisition. I mean, in particular, in the home improvement space, as an example, a lot of those businesses have now gotten to the point where they can say, okay, they come to their provider, in the case of Valpak, right? They're like, okay, here's how much I'm paying for a lead from you. How do I know that? Because this landing page and this telephone number are associated with that campaign. And I think as long as advertisers continue, or the people who are advertising continue to engage in those kinds of behaviors, where they're actively seeking to ensure they get as much information as humanly possible from the advertising they're putting out, then it doesn't matter, right? Because you use the video thing. Okay, were we probably sold a bill of goods by Facebook for the last year that more people were watching Facebook video than we're actually doing so in real life? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if I'm doing a good job on my side of convertible attribution, I knew, regardless of what the actual numbers were, I spent $2 on Facebook video and I got $4 in revenue. I spent $2 on a newspaper ad and I got $6 in revenue. I was going to spend more money on the newspaper regardless, because that's how really kind of data-driven marketing works. And I think the more folks who A, take responsibility for this on their own brand, and B, execute on those strategies, you're automatically holding the advertiser to account, because you're holding them to a metric you can control rather than the other way around. And I think if anything comes out of this, that's the lesson. This is more important than ever.
Yeah, we'll all maybe be a little bit more above board, and maybe we'll all be looking at the same things, the same real metrics, like you said, sales numbers, and you know, what did I get for the dollar that I spent on Facebook? Because bottom line, I don't really care what the metrics said over the past year. If I had to do it all over again, I would still spend the same amount of money we spent on Facebook over the past year, because we got results. We got customers for our clients. We got leads. We got people coming in buying pizzas or making appointments with plumbers or whatever the case may be. In fact, I'd probably go back and try to get people to spend more money because they got such great results. So you know, I'm not too worried about these metrics. I think you're right. It's all going to even out somehow. I did want to mention real quick that today's episode has been brought to you by ClickTex, your team for website and digital marketing needs for your franchise development and consumer side of your brand, working with over 100 franchise brands. Check them out at clicktex.com and tell them the Geeks sent you. I also wanted to mention I'll be speaking on a panel on social media for emerging brands in Miami at the International Franchise Association Emerging Franchisor Conference. That's coming up November 7th, 8th, and 9th. You can get details and registration info at franchise.org. And we hope to see you all in Miami in November. Jim, if anybody would like to follow up with you, maybe ask you a few more questions about today's topic of attribution and metrics and all of the other things that that you're a guru on. Where can they reach you? What's the best place? Website, LinkedIn, Twitter? Where can we find you these days?
Yeah, so Twitter is JRBuckley68. I'm typically on there every single day. You can, my LinkedIn profile is pretty highly up to date. And then the easiest way to reach me if you've got a direct question is via email. It's Donegalhold, DonegalHold at yahoo.com. And that's pretty much the three ways to reach me. I respond on all three of those platforms.
Awesome. We'll have links to all of those on today's show notes as well, so people can click and find you and throw questions your way. Jim, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining Social Geek Radio again, and we will talk to you soon.
You got it. Take care, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.